that a dog barking?
That's my dog whining. Her dinner is up here on the counter. I'm going to have to put the dinner in the refrigerator.
Maisie.
So you all tell me when you want to start rolling.
Okay. It's gone. It's all gone. Oh, come on.
It's the time change. I have the same problem with my cat.
It is, because they really, they think it's 5 o'clock and yeah, it's time to eat.
Right. I've already been told it's 5 o'clock. I told her, wait an hour.
I should mute myself. There's nothing I can do with her. Where's the mute button?
Which committee member is
Katie is the one with the problem. I don't know how to mute.
We're good. You know, that's fine. Music to our...
Okay.
They can all talk to each other.
Is she there?
Yeah, Katie's here.
Okay, good. Are we waiting for anyone we expect to be here?
I think all members are in attendance that responded to the email.
Okay.
I only see four of us. Okay.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome you to the November meeting of the LCAS Advisory Committee for Lane County. And the appointed hour is 4 o'clock, 4:02. And I want to welcome everyone and any members of the public. You have 3 minutes per person. Elise, is there any member of the public would like to speak?
Not that I'm aware of. We do have a special guest here with us today from the Oregon Department of Ag, but she is listed on the agenda.
That's excellent. We're looking forward to it. All right. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda that any committee member would like to perform or add or subtract?
I didn't see the agenda, so I don't know. I would like to get some more information on the recent dog attack in Myrtle Point and a previous one in Springfield in August. So I'd like to discuss that whenever it comes up.
Well, I'll just tell you the agenda. Number two is changes, additions to the agenda. Number three is acknowledge the audio minutes from October 21. Number four is new and continuing business animal rescue entity licensing program, Ashley K, 20 to 30 minutes. B, importation information, the Honorable okay. David Calderwood.
That works in with that.
C, advisory committee at large vacancy. Number five, Greenhill. 5A is x-ray purchase. 6 is Lane County Animal Services activity. 7 is open discussion. 8 items for next month's agenda. And 9 is adjourned. So okay. We are, so David, you want to add during your time?
No, that can work. What I have to say can work in with importation.
Okay. Acknowledge the audio minutes. Does anyone care to acknowledge the audio minutes that they exist?
I will. I actually looked at them. That's Katie.
You actually looked at them?
I did. Wow. I know. Okay. Listen to
me. Well, that's excellent, Katie.
Oh,
Okay. Any amendments to it? Are you fine with those as far as you know?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, hearing no objection. New and continuing business. Number A is Animal Rescue Entity Licensing Program. 20 to 30 minutes, Ashley K. Elise, do you want to make an introduction?
Yes, tonight we have Ashley Kunze. I hope I'm saying her last name correctly. I apologize if I'm not. With the Oregon Department of Ag. We met recently at the Oregon Animal Control Conference held just a month or so ago, and she educated us at that time regarding the state's program that they've rolled out for managing rescues in the state of Oregon. At our last advisory committee meeting, the committee had a lot of questions about how that program works and what it looks like, and so Ashley has volunteered her time to be here tonight and explain all of those questions that you had to us.
Well, welcome, Ashley.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Appreciate your work. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Ashley Kinsey. Like she said, I work for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. I am the sole employee for the Animal Rescue Entity Program. I am managed by the state veterinarian, Dr. Ryan Schultz, and then we have a few district veterinarians across the state who help us with some of the inspections. But we're a pretty small group of people. So a little background on the Animal Rescue Entity program. In 2013, Senate Bill 6 gave responsibility of licensing and inspecting AREs to the county or city agencies. There was some inconsistencies across the state. Some counties were able to develop programs while other counties, either due to funding or staffing, were unable to develop programs. So due to these inconsistencies, in 2019, Senate Bill 883 was passed. This amended Senate Bill 6 and redirected the responsibility of regulating ARES to the state veterinarian's office. So it gave us the authority to develop a program, which we've started developing right after that. So what is an animal rescue entity? ORS 609-415 has a very detailed definition of what an ARE is. To kind of simplify it a little bit, an ARE is an individual or organization who has 10 or more animals in their legal custody and who accepts or solicits donations of any form. So these donations can be in the form of money, supplies such as food or blankets. The adoption fees are also considered donations for these organizations. So there are a couple of exemptions. One exemption is the possession or control of dogs for the purpose of reproduction. So breeding does not fall within this requirement. And medical veterinary facilities. Medical veterinary facilities are already inspected by OVMEB. So the Veterinary Medical Board already monitors and inspects them. So they are not included in this either. Currently across the state, we have 170 entities that are in our database that we are aware of. There's a long list of others that have not applied yet that we are currently contacting and currently trying to get their cooperation. We have 117 that are fully licensed. They've been inspected, they've paid their fee, and they have a license.
Were that?
117.
117 fully licensed, thank you.
Yep, yeah. The remainder of those are in somewhere in the process. Either we are waiting for their payment, their inspection has been scheduled, but we haven't been able to complete it yet, or they're an unlicensed entity, meaning they submitted an application, but we determined that they are not required to have a license, or we've received a complaint about their organization, but we have not received an application and we're working to get an application from them. Currently in Lane County, so in your county, we have 23 organizations that are licensed. So the purpose and intent of this program. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just going to ask real quick, do we know how many there are that are out there in Lane County that aren't licensed? Do we have any idea of that?
So unfortunately, when we started this program, there was no one list across the state that really gave us a good idea of especially with the limitations of 10 animals or more, made it really difficult to know who was required to be licensed. Our original estimation was about 60 in Lane County. So we have a ways to go to meet that number. And again, that's organizations that, you know, may have one or two animals where we're not sure about their sizes. So that was the biggest struggle in beginning this process, was trying to determine how many licenses or licensed ARES there would be. Originally, we were given a list of 225, and just from more research, we doubled that list. And that list is continually changing every day, as we're finding that some rescues don't require license. There are new ones out there that we're getting complaints about, so it's just continually changing. But the intent and purpose of this program is that all organizations meet the same record keeping and licensing requirements. So we are not intended to enforce animal welfare laws. Oregon Department of Agriculture may refuse to issue a license, or it may revoke a license that's already been issued, but we are not enforcing welfare laws. We are working closely with local law enforcement during these cases. So if we get a complaint about an animal welfare issue, we are working with the local law enforcement for that. The application process is pretty simple. Our application is on our website. And I can give you guys this information in the chat, but it's a direct link to our website is oda.direct/ARE. And that would take you directly to the Animal Rescue Entity portion of our ODA website. But once they submit an application, we process the application and schedule their initial inspection. We do all of our initial inspections as scheduled inspections. The only surprise inspections we may do are follow-ups to complaints. So for the inspection,
what does the E stand for in ARE?
Entity.
What?
Entity.
Oh, okay. Good.
Let's see. So all ARES must be inspected before we issue a license. Reinspections will likely be done each year. We're still trying to determine if we have the manpower to inspect everybody every year. As the program develops a little bit more, we'll know if we're able to spread those inspections out. We're planning, if we get two satisfactory inspections on file for them, then we may be able to spread out the inspections a little bit. There are two different types of ARES. One is a 100% foster-based organization, so all animals are in foster homes. The other one would be a facility location, so where animals are kept at one central location. They may also utilize foster facilities, but it kind of determines how we're going to inspect them based on how they keep their animals. So if they have a facility location, so animals are kept, housed, maintained at a central location, we will complete a walkthrough inspection of their facility and a records audit. If they have multiple facilities, they may require multiple licenses. We have a few ARES that have a facility in one county and then another facility in a separate county. And because they have those two separate locations, we are inspecting each of them separately. Therefore, they have to have two licenses, two license fees. For 100% foster-based organization, that means all animals that are in their legal custody are kept in foster homes. We are not inspecting each foster home. You know, some of the larger rescues may have a couple hundred foster homes, and then we don't have the manpower to inspect every single foster home. The care of the animals in these homes does fall under the organization's responsibility. So if we get a complaint for based on a foster home, we may inspect it at that time, depending on the complaint, and the organization may be responsible for what we find in that home. So we do encourage that all organizations do an application process and an in-home inspection on their own, just to ensure that those animals are kept in a safe environment and are being well cared for. For the facilities, when we do a walkthrough inspection, we are looking for minimum standards of care. So the walkthrough inspection is designed to confirm that these, sorry, my dog's shaking in the background, but we're looking to make sure that they're meeting these minimum standards of care. If we do come across any concerns for animal welfare or neglect, we will document it at that time with photos or in writing and contact local law enforcement and work together with them. And then the records audit. So every animal is required to have a record maintained. These records need to be kept and maintained for 12 months after disposition. Disposition meaning they've been adopted, they've been transferred to a new organization, they've been euthanized or died in their care. Any reasoning that they have left their care, their record needs to be kept for 12 months. And then we don't keep, or we don't require them to keep the records in any one form. So I've seen everything from nice spreadsheets and databases on a computer to a box of random papers that we have to sort through. So as long as they are able to provide the information for that animal that we're looking for, that's all that we need. Obviously, we'd love for it to be organized. It makes the inspection a lot more simple. But there's no one way that we require it. Our rules were finalized December 1st of 2020. So any records from prior to December 1st, 2020, we are unable to hold an organization to. So we may look at some of those records just to give them an idea of what they may be missing, do some, you know, education and outreach with these organizations during their inspection. But we're unable to, you know, it's not going to be a ding against them for their inspection if they don't have the records for before December 1st. So there is a record requirement sheet on our website that really describes everything that's required in the records. Really quickly, I'll just kind of go over some of the bullets. So they do need to have the date of intake, where the animal came from, so their source information. Description of the animal at intake, a photo within 24 hours of intake. If the animal had any offspring in their care, documenting that. The manner of disposition, so where the animal went to, if it was adopted, if the animal was euthanized, the date, any of that information. Unique identifications would be like a microchip or a tattoo, ear tags, any vaccinations or treatments that the animal had while in their care. A lot of the times this information is kept at the veterinarian office, but as long as they have, you know, maybe a list of the appointments that they went to and when their vaccinations are due next, something like that we're able to follow along with. Most of the time we're able to contact the veterinary clinic to get those records if we really need it. So we don't require that they have each veterinary visit in their file. And then regulatory documents. So any, you know, rabies vaccination certificate or import documents. So Oregon Department of Agriculture requires that all animals crossing state lines into Oregon have a certificate of veterinary inspection from a veterinarian. So we call that their import documents. Depending on the species of animal, the age, the purpose of the animal, there may be other requirements. Dogs and cats are pretty simple, that we require the certificate of veterinary inspection and a rabies vaccination. Other animals get a little bit more difficult. There may be blood tests, there may be other vaccinations that are required before they come into our state. But having any of those documents in their file is required. We are currently working on an exemption for this for any of the licensed animal rescues in our state. The details are still to be determined. We're still working through that, but we're hopeful that we'll have an exemption for licensed rescues to be able to bring animals into their care, quarantine them at their facility until they're able to get them into their regular veterinarian. Because we do understand that sometimes it's a emergent issue. You're getting an animal out of a hoarding situation or out of an unsafe situation into a safe situation. We don't want to impede that at all, but we do have requirements that need to be met. So if we're able to bring them into our state, quarantine them until they're able to see their veterinarian, we're hopeful that we'll be able to get that accomplished here soon. So once an organization has been inspected, we've received their payment and their payment's been processed, we'll issue a license. It's a pretty generic license. The larger facilities, we're asking that they frame it and post it. The smaller facilities, in-home facilities, if they just have it with their records somewhere where we can, they can provide it if they're asked for it. And then there is the annual renewal process that they will complete through us. There's a few things that we have on our website that kind of help for the public to know who are, better rescues, who are licensed rescues, maybe who aren't. So there is a searchable list on our website. It's a little difficult to get to, but on our ODA website, so oregon.gov/ODA, under licenses, you would want to search for AHID licenses. And this will bring up a list of just the licensed animal rescue entities. So this isn't a list of anybody who's in process. It's just who has received a license. But it'll tell you anybody in the state that has a license. We're working on getting a link from the ARE page directly to that list, but we're working with IT on that one. Was there a question?
Is there a rating system on that, and how do you determine, their level of compliance, and is there a rating system on this list of?
So this list is just for licensed animal rescues. So it would be anybody who's passed our inspections, paid our fee, and are licensed.
Oh, okay.
So some of the public have contacted me wondering, how can I tell if a rescue has met the requirements? And this was our way of letting the public have a list of who is licensed in our state. And like I said, there's a number that aren't going to be on that list yet because we're still working through the process with them. But it's a list that's updated every day as we issue licenses out. We also on our website have a complaint system where you can go on and submit a complaint for a rescue. So we ask that everybody goes through the online system to submit a complaint instead of email or phone calls, just because sometimes interpretation of what somebody's saying can get skewed. So we really recommend that we use the online form and submit a formal complaint through that. I do want to mention that anything that we have in our database is public record. So if somebody hears that they have a complaint issued or submitted for them, they can submit a public records request and they have that information. So you can submit a complaint anonymously. There's only two fields that need to be completed, and that's the ARE name and the complaint description. So everything else can be left blank, but if we do come to a dead end, if we don't have any contact information, then the complaint may not be able to go very far. There is a way to attach photos to the complaint, which has helped a lot. If there's some evidence, some photos of what you've seen. Many of the complaints that we do receive are outside of our authority. Unfortunately, because we're unable to follow up on the welfare and the neglect issues, you know, we do forward these on to local law enforcement and work closely with them. But it's a difficult line there.
Well, let me ask you about that. If you have a case where there's obvious gross neglect and some dead animals and some dying animals, some severely malnourished and medically in crisis animals, you're telling us that you can do nothing with respect to the rescue organization that is in complete default of the basic care requirements?
We can not issue a license, which we would not do in that case. And we would immediately contact local law enforcement and work with local law enforcement to, you know, potentially rehome or relocate those animals. And so we would work to get them out of the care of that organization. However, it's going to be, we're going to have to work together as agencies. Our authority only goes so far, and then local law enforcement picks up.
Scott, if I can clear this up, they are not a law enforcement agency, they're a licensing agency, which is why she has to turn it over to law enforcement.
What about if it is a animal health situation with large animals that are in violation of USDA or Oregon DA basic requirements for disease-free or whatever?
Yeah, and that would, you know, there's other situations where we can quarantine a facility. We can do a required quarantine where everything is locked down. Animals cannot leave or come back onto the site while we work through the process, you know, likely contacting USDA and working with them. Like I said, a lot of the situations, it's going to be a multi-agency response to these issues.
Have you already cooperatively worked with law enforcement on any chronic negligent animal abuse or whatever situations?
Not on the abuse or neglect issues. We've followed up with a few of the organization or a few of the counties and had them come with us for complaint follow-up. But no, we have not had any neglect issues yet. Our program is still really new. So we are, you know, we're just dipping our toes into a lot of it right now. So it's going to be a process following up on some of these complaints.
I have a couple questions. And I was typing while you were talking about this and I missed it. When a dog comes in from out of the state, with the rescue, is there a requirement for a in-state veterinarian inspection?
So what we require right now, what our rules require, is that any dog coming into the state from out of state has a certificate of veterinary inspection from the veterinarian of the origin. So that would be the state that they came from. Before they travel to Oregon, they have to see a veterinarian, and the veterinarian has to sign off that they are you know, healthy and free of disease on that certificate.
But there's no requirement for an in-state vet after the dog gets here, correct?
After the dog gets here, no, there's no requirement for an in-state veterinarian to see them.
Okay, question. I know of veterinarians following up on some of the documentation that's come in with dogs and found there was no vet in that area with that name. Are you following up to check to see that it's not fraudulent documentation?
So if a veterinarian notices that, definitely let us know, and we will follow up on it.
So you're not doing that yourself?
It's not that we are looking at every health certificate and right. confirming everything.
Right, I understand.
we've had some issues in the past before this program was developed, of, you know, a blank health certificate with a veterinarian signature, and then the organization just filled in some of the information. So we've followed up on issues like that in the past before this program developed.
Got it. Okay.
So I do anticipate there being issues like that, but we're not looking into everything.
Right. I understand. Okay. Another couple more questions. Did you say you thought there were 60-some rescues in Lane County, but you don't actually know?
Correct. So originally there were 63 organizations who we located in our searching of the Secretary of State websites, different lists that we've looked through that said that their address was within Lane County. That it's really hard to determine because some of them are foster based, so they may be all over the state. Some of them may be less than 10 animals, so they may not be required to have a license. So we're still working to contact all of them.
Also, you mentioned something 200 and some in the state, but you ended up doubling the count. What were those numbers again?
Yeah, so originally our list was 225. That's what we were given before I was hired. Once I came into the program, we did more research and we found about 500. I think it was 515 was on our list. But like I said, that list is changing every day because we're being notified that there's other organizations that we weren't aware of, or we're talking to some of these organizations that really are not required to have a license.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
When basically, I'll just be ignorant here, when and why and by whom was this initiated initially, and what basic issue was seen by the legislature as really warranting some formalized oversight?
You can look at me, Scott. I'm one of the first that have been pounding on this for years now, and I think I'm one of the reasons it got going.
Well, thank you. Good job. But Katie, in terms of the legislation, et cetera, at whose behest what legislator led the effort to do this?
I think it was bipartisan, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm not either. We'd have to look at the two bills and go from there on who supported them.
Yeah, I do know that in 2013, a lot of it was in a response to a animal neglect, animal welfare situation in Marion County. A dog, yeah. There was a lot of dogs that were not treated fairly.
That started with the Oregon Humane Society when they got on board with it. And that was a case, a rescue in Albany, if I remember correctly, was found to be warehousing dogs in a warehouse, and they were in abusive situations. I think that's how that started with the Oregon Humane Society.
Marion County, I think. But I could be wrong.
What kind of company?
It was an animal rescue.
It was a rescue in Albany.
I see. And were they shut down?
I believe so.
we'd have to research that. I don't know. I assume something was done. There was a case, and we'd have to check in with the Albany. Is it the Albany Sheriff's Department that does that, I believe? We'd have to check that, Scott. But I think something came of it, yes.
Go ahead if you can, Katie. Do you have
Are you talking,
more?
Katie?
Yes.
I'm not able to hear her.
Yeah, I can't. You're on mute.
Oh. just proceed. Proceed, please.
I think we're just moving forward at this point. I think Scott was.
You're cutting in and out, Katie.
Are there any other questions of any kind?
You gave us a lot of information. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And feel free to contact me if you have any questions. Like I said, I'll add it in the comments, the chat here. And Elise has my contact information as well. So
I didn't get your last name. Ashley, what's your last name?
Kenzie.
Kenzie?
Yes.
K-E-N-Z-I-E?
K-U-E-N-Z-I.
And the website for the Oregon Department of Agriculture, what was that, oda.direct something?
ODA dot, oh gosh. The direct link is oda.direct/ARE.
ARE, that was it.
That was for complaints, was it?
That'll take you to where you can submit a complaint. That'll take you to the whole animal rescue entity page. So it'll have all the links to everything there.
Okay. If anybody has any questions, is that where they go to ask questions or contact someone in your department?
My contact information is on that page.
Okay. Very good.
I will also give you another email address. Okay. What you can't see from this view is that I'm 30 weeks pregnant and will be out in January for maternity leave. And so there's an email address that goes to both myself and our state veterinarian. So okay. I'll give you that email address as well.
Okay.
And that's animalrescue@oda.oregon.gov.
Thank you. I'm two finger typer, so it takes a while. animalrescue@oda.oregon.gov.
Yep, that's correct.
Thank you very much.
Yep, of course.
Ashley, does Dr. Emilio DeBess still work in the Department of Agriculture?
He does not. He is the public health veterinarian. So he works for, I think, Oregon Health Authority is where he is. So Dr. Reagan.
You mentioned, Ashley, that there's a rescue group that has, quote, hundreds of foster volunteers. Is that really current with someone?
There's a number of different organizations who have a large number of foster network. It's not saying that they always have an animal at each foster home, but they do have a large network of foster homes. And Oregon Humane Society is one of them, where they keep a lot of animals at their facility, but they also have a large network of people who are willing and able to foster animals for them.
That's great. Now, when did this ARE, your office, this operation, when did that start exactly?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit, but
yeah, it's weird.
Our rules with.
Wow.
Sorry, I think we're talking over each other again.
Can hear you.
Our rules for ODA became finalized December 1st of 2020. That's when we were able to start inspections and start moving forward with the application process.
Wow,
before that,
great.
We've been working on writing the rules for quite some time, but.
I do have. Oops.
Go ahead, Katie.
Thanks. I have one last question. I'm just wondering, at this site, do you know how many complaints come in every month on an average?
Not as many as you would think. I would probably say per month, maybe five. But I think mainly it's because it's not very well known that we have this complaint system. So
if you had a complaint come in for a rescue that, I'm thinking of a boarding facility. I guess I'm going back to this horse issue we had here, which was a boarding facility. If you have a complaint about that, then that's in Lane County, you would then contact Lane County Animal Services. What would be your first line of response?
Yes, we would contact the animal services if we receive a complaint that doesn't fall under our authority. And a boarding facility would likely be one of those that doesn't fall under this law.
And so what if there was a rescue, just, you know, a rescue organization for dogs and cats here in Lane County?
Yeah, so it depends on what the complaint is. If the complaint's coming in saying, you know, that they're operating without a license and that they need to have a license, then I would follow up initially. But I would likely, in most situations following up on a complaint, I would likely contact local law enforcement first and ask somebody to accompany me on that inspection. So I would do an inspection to determine if they were required to have a license. And I'd like to have the backup with the county there because then they're able to see what I see. And so if they aren't required to have a license, but they have other issues, then somebody else is there to follow up. If they are required to have a license, then I would be able to follow up on that aspect. And so it depends on what the complaint is coming in.
Sure. Thanks. Okay.
All right, Ashley, we want to thank you for coming tonight. It's a huge accomplishment to have inspected over 100 rescues spread all over the state all by yourself. So that's something I hope you feel accomplished about. And if you're ever in Lane County with a rescue issue, any of our animal control officers are happy to accompany you on scene to inspect.
Great,
thank you.
Thank you
for coming.
Bye.
Great information.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That was great.
Yeah.
Very good. Importation info updates?
Yes. I have questions about the two dog attacks I know about. There was one apparently in Springfield in August, the first part of August, that I just inadvertently found online. And then the Myrtle Point one started in Springfield, and then the dog was given to somebody in Myrtle Point and killed the lady. I think it's important for us to know where these dogs came from. If there's one or more rescues that are bringing dogs in that are dangerous, we need to know who those rescues are. Is that information ever kept by LCAS at all, where the dogs originate? Elise.
No worries. That case actually occurred in the city of Springfield. It did not involve unincorporated Lane County.
There was one, and I'm just bringing it up, in the first part of August. Apparently it was a complaint. And I don't know how we can find out which one that is, but the dog was actually euthanized. And the neighbor shot the dog while trying to help during the attack, and the dog was later euthanized, I assume, by animal control. Would we have known where that dog came from? What rescue, if it was a rescue, where it came from?
Yeah, I don't know what rescue it came from. My understanding is it was a rescue dog, but it had been an owned dog for many years.
Okay.
For most accurate information on this case, I would say you would need to request records from City of Springfield Animal Services, as we don't have any direct involvement in it. The dog, I can confirm, has been euthanized. And it was not euthanized by an animal control officer. It was euthanized by the emergency vet hospital at the request of the responding officer based on what was seen at the incident location.
Okay, if there was a dog attack that you are involved with, would you be looking at where the dog came from? Is there anything in place for you to do that?
It would really be circumstantial. If animal owner discloses that the dog had a past history of dangerous behavior, we may look into that. We would contact the previous county the dog owner came from. If we were trying to petition our court, Lane County Justice Court, for euthanasia of that dog. But other than that, that may not be information that we have at the time of our contact.
Okay. That tells me it's not normally done. I ask you this question. How do we change that? As a committee, what do we have to do? I think this is very important. What do we have to do to require you to find that information? Do we have to petition the county commissioners or just what?
I think that's a question I would have to think about. I don't have a direct answer for you. My initial response is that it's not an issue that we run into very often. A large majority of our dangerous behavior complaints just end with a warning, and oftentimes they're just the first offense. So it's just poorly managed dog behavior that has escalated to maybe a nip or a dog lunging at somebody. Dogs that have a propensity for dangerous behavior are usually determined to be a hazard early on, and they're either managed properly by their owner or they come onto our radar quickly. So
right.
I haven't ran into this issue too much where we're getting a dangerous dog coming into our jurisdiction from another county.
Okay.
Like I said, if we did have a dog that we were dealing with in regards to dangerous behavior charges, and I had any tip off that the dog had a past history, I would surely contact all appropriate entities that I could, be it the past jurisdiction for wherever that dog lived at, or a rescue that may have information on the dog's behavioral tendencies at the time they acquired it.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
David, did I hear you correctly say that a dog, quote, killed a lady down in Myrtle Point?
Yes.
Killed a lady?
Yes. I can send you one article. You can do more research from that. Yes.
Was that
it had attacked a child in Springfield and was given to a lady in Myrtle Point. From what I understand, and this is hearsay, the owner didn't want the dog charged with anything, and so it was just given to someone, and it never got into the legal end of it, like Springfield Animal Control apparently didn't get involved, nor did LCAS. And the dog was given to a lady in Myrtle Point and eventually killed the lady in Myrtle Point. However, it could have been worse because the lady had children.
Jeez. That's terrible.
It could have been worse. Yes. Anyhow, from what I understand, the lady was protecting her children. I don't know if it had attacked the children or anything like that. The article didn't say that. The article did say the lady was protecting her children when she died. She was attacked, she later died at the hospital.
What was the breed?
Pardon?
What was the breed?
Well, they say pit bull, but, you know, who knows?
Okay. All right. Let's move forward. Do you have anything more, Dave?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Elise, would you like to just briefly touch on the at-large vacancy update? I saw that you commendably put it in the official notice in the paper. Anything else to add to that? Any inquiry, interest at all?
No inquiries. I did receive a phone call, I believe, is it from your friend, Linda? Virginia Kaiser?
Yes, it was from Virginia Kaiser. She is continuing to try to make contact.
Okay.
The application apparently is to a different department, or was to a different department.
Okay.
What?
We attempted to call her back and left her a message with details on how to access the application, but I'm happy to put my desk number in the comment section as well in case someone wants to call my desk directly. It's also always on my email, so you can get a hold of me that way if there's any issues. What we've done since the last meeting is we did make the link to the at-large position more visible on the advisory section of our website. Advisory committee section of our website. There was also a Facebook posting that went out on the Lane County Government Facebook page. So if any of you have Facebook, you can go look up that posting and share it with all your friends to get some more publicity out there as well. And like was mentioned, I did make an extra note in the registered guard posting that there is an at-large vacancy still available.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I'm just wondering. Sasha, are you there? I can't.
Hi, I'm here.
I was just wondering, you know, because Greenhill has such a large pool of volunteers, if it would be appropriate maybe to somehow let those volunteers know that LCAS is looking for someone. I don't know. That might be crossing boundaries. Just a thought.
Well, they could just recuse. They could recuse themselves on any matter pertaining to financial support.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I would love to share the posting with our team of community members and volunteers. Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to say about the, like, how the licenses are going in a nutshell, or any other positive or happy development or noteworthy development or ongoing interesting information?
As for LCAS,
can you hear me? Yeah.
Sure, we can skip ahead to that. I think last time I mentioned that LCAS acquired an additional utility trailer for the purposes of disaster preparedness, specifically for livestock. So now we'll have the Lane County Animals and Disaster Trailer, which is going to be geared towards companion animal rescue efforts. And then we also have the new trailer, which is going to be the animal services livestock trailer that can be deployed with supplies for sheltering livestock and also supplies for search and rescue operations in case of a community-wide disaster or emergency. We just got some brand new shelving installed in the livestock trailer along with some really nice LED lighting, and we have purchased 8 quality livestock panels so we can use those to redirect animals or temporarily confine a small number of animals in the field.
Are we able to, during emergencies, utilize the animal spaces at the Lane County Fairgrounds?
Yes, absolutely. The Lane Event Center is our primary sheltering location in the event of an emergency.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Maybe you could send us a photo of this tricked out animal livestock shelter. That's an excellent addition. Is there any other comments on LCAS's activity? You know, I did skip, my apologies, Greenhill. Do we have someone from Greenhill tonight or not?
Hi, yes, Sasha Elliott is here from Greenhill.
Oh, great. Elise, are you through with number 6? You can go back to number 5.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Elise. Well done. All right, Sasha, please.
Hello, Advisory Committee. Greenhill continues to be very busy and currently has a little over 150 animals in our care today. And let's see, nothing exceptionally new to report, but I did want to take a moment to thank the committee for your support and the financial support and the ability for us to purchase a digital X-ray machine recently. It has really expedited our life-saving efforts. We're now able to identify injury and provide care for animals in a much more timely manner. Some of the illnesses that we've treated just recently have included broken legs, distended abdomens, a variety of pregnant dogs and cats. And the machine is incredibly easy to use. It takes excellent quality photos, and we're able to digitally upload those into each animal's medical records. So it's been a total game changer for us, and we just wanted to thank you so much for helping us to make this happen. We are we're planning a public thank you to this committee over social media in the month of November, and then our printed publication, the Winter Wet Nose Wire, will go out here the end of this year, very beginning of next year, and there'll be a story about the machine, and we'll be sharing our gratitude to this committee and your support as well.
Scott, I would recommend that you take a tour of Greenhill if you get a chance, and see how it's set up, including looking at the machine. It's very impressive.
Very good. Sasha, you might also send a copy or a twin letter to the board of the Lane County Commissioners, just okay. Thanking them, if you know, so that they have a feeling of, you know, positive contribution.
Fantastic. I can do that. And I extend the invitation to come and tour Greenhill to anyone on this call at any time that's convenient for you. We'd love to share with you the hard work that we're doing here in the community and how your support really makes a difference for community members and the animals that we care about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, this is good. This is good. Is there, you now, is 150 animals currently in your care? Is that usual for this type of time of year?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is. It's on average usual for this time of year. What's unusual right now is that we are still seeing intake of neonatal and bottle baby kittens. Dogs will have puppies throughout the year, but cats tend to really seem to have kittens, particularly the stray cats, between April and October. And each year, depending on the weather, we may see that extend a little bit longer, but it's pretty rare for us to see newborns this late in the year.
Do people bring them in? How do you get them?
Yeah, Good Samaritans, members of the public, bring them in. We'll either do a direct intake if they're in danger or they're injured, or we will provide supplies and guidance to people that are able to continue to care for them outside of the shelter environment until they're old enough to come in and be spayed and neutered, fully vaccinated, and then placed into a new home.
This is really great. Anything else, or is that pretty summarized the latest good things?
I think that's the summary. I'm always happy to answer any questions that the group has, but I think that's all I have today.
Are there any questions of the committee, or is Sasha free to go on and bless those beautiful animals? All right. Thank you, Sasha. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I guess we have open discussion if any is desired. Is there any other comment that any committee member cares to add? And hearing none, as we've made a lot of, our next regularly scheduled meeting will be December 13th. And I presume at 4:00. Is that right, Elise?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and I guess we're ready to adjourn. Elise, your materials are really well done. In your handling of this whole operation is really impressive. I want to thank you for that. And hearing that, we're adjourned until December 13th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll send you that information, Scott, on the dog.
All right. Everybody be safe. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.